Let me call your attention to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read from three passages, Proverbs 16:31, Proverbs 20:29, and Leviticus 19:32. You can follow along, or I think that you will pick up the main theme just by hearing me read. But here, the reading of this, we believe, God's infallible, His inerrant word. Proverbs 16:31. Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. Proverbs 20:29. The glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair. And then Leviticus 19, verse 32, you shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Join me again in prayer. Father, open our hearts and minds that we may behold wondrous things from this your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I read an article in By Faith magazine recently that reported from a book concerning a conference. At this conference, there were 324 female CEOs and other executives in a Fortune magazine conference. Of that 324, only 11 or 3.4% had any discernible gray hair. Back in 2006, there were 14 U.S. senators, female U.S. senators of the 100 that we have, 14. And of those 14 women, you know you have to be a certain age even to be in a Senate, and some of these women were beyond the minimum age, to say the least. Of that 14, do you know how many of those female U.S. senators had gray hair? Zero. A coincidence? Well, maybe. My point has nothing to do with hair coloring products. I want to make that clear. That's a woman's choice or a man's choice or whatever. We're not going there today. But my concern, while it isn't hair coloring, it is society's view of the elderly. Ann Creamer expresses it rather pointedly, even provocatively, in her book, Going Gray. She puts it this way. It's a harsh statement, so prepare for this. Our society does not have room for the elderly. They are ostracized, excommunicated, expelled like contagious lepers, so no longer considered full members of human community. Now, I hope she's overstating the case. That's a sobering assessment. But I give that stark expression to be able to say, I hope you understand that God and God's Word has a decidedly different view concerning aging and the elderly. Even if you don't consider yourself elderly, and I know that most of you don't, I hope you'll listen. I want you to see several things briefly this morning. First of all, different seasons of life are acknowledged in the Scripture. In the passage that we read from Proverbs 20:29, we have this word, the glory of a young man is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair. There are different seasons of life. The Scripture acknowledges that, and if we try to ignore that, We are trying to do something that is futile. I like what one of our men my age or a little older said back years ago when we were playing softball for the church softball team. He said, you know, someone hits a ball or I hit a ball and I'm running and my mind says, do this. And my body says, you've got to be kidding. We recognize there are different seasons in life. There are some things that an 80-year-old can't do that a 20-year-old can do. But the 20-year-old is not the standard for an 80-year-old or a 50-year-old. We don't try to dress or act like a teenager. And when we do, the teenagers just laugh at us. So don't do that. Don't do that. Don't, you know, there was a time when the style was those open shirts with medallions hanging down. And I didn't like the styles. But what I really didn't like is when old men tried to do those styles. There are different seasons of life. And to quote from Ecclesiastes 3:11, He has made everything beautiful in its season. God has made the different season. We acknowledge that. We accept that. That brings me to a second related point, distinctive value for every season of life. Notice what the text says. The young man, his glory is his strength. The older man, the splendor of the older man is his gray hair. There are different qualities, different virtues in different ages. And I hope that you will see that. There is a quality and a value in a four-year-old. A four-year-old is soaking everything up. That mind is just taking in so much, learning words, learning things, learning relationships, just soaking up. The learning curve is going like that. Teenager, or even before teenager, in the later elementary, that growing spurt, who can compare with that? Mothers know as they have to let out the hem of a son's trousers. Dads know as they have to get some new tennis shoes. They say, didn't I just buy some shoes? Yes, but they've outgrown those shoes. Who can compete with those growing spurts? Who can compete with the strength and the endurance of an 18 to 20-year-old? Not many of us would want to, if we're 60-year-olds, would want to arm wrestle with a 25-year-old. We wouldn't want to run a 10K race against a 25 to 30-year-old if we're 70. There are different virtues for different ages. I like it when someone a little bit older looks at a five-year-old who's going nonstop and smiles and says, God knew what He was doing when He gave children to those who were relatively young. Grandparents can give the children back on most occasions, and that's usually a good thing. They're different strengths for different ages. We value every season of life because God gives the seasons of life. There's wisdom with years. There's perspective for what is important and what is not worth having a fight over. Wisdom and perspective can come with the years. Often there are people skills that develop with years. It's not automatic, but at least you have the opportunity and you ought to be developing people skills with years. It seemed to me that another value of older age is humility. We've made enough mistakes that we ought to have some modicum of humility in dealing with others. I think old age not only gives perspective, but can give a dimension of humor in life. We realize that there are things that are important in life, but I think also we can step back and laugh at that which is humorous, and even that which is downright ridiculous. You know, there are some funny things in life. And you get old enough, you're able to lighten up and laugh and enjoy it. That's an important thing. And let me say, as I look off over a very serious Presbyterian audience, I think it's very important for Presbyterians as they grow older to lighten up and laugh with the holy joy from the Lord. You see, sometimes children can't wait to get old, and older people wish they were 18 again. But God gives a beauty and a value to every season of life. Well, that brings me to the delights of aging, and I know that some of you are probably wondering what I would do with this point if you looked at that ahead of time, the delights of aging. But our next text says there is a splendor to gray hair. A splendor. What in the world is the splendor to being old? Let me give you a couple of examples that I hope will get you thinking. First, there is a fruitfulness to old age. In Psalm 92 and verse 14, we sang it earlier, but I'm going to read it now. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. I love that translation. It's almost as good as the old Psalter rendering. That's my favorite. Words kind of change in their connotations. It has that last sentence this way: they shall be fat and full of sap, and I be flourishing. And that was a good thing. It's comparing those older people to trees that are flourishing and fruitful. You see, some fruit trees don't immediately bear fruit, and some of them must exist a number of years before they get to maximum fruitfulness. And that's the image that the Bible gives in regard to the fruitfulness of old age. That there is a fruitfulness that comes with age. Now you might say, well, what kind of fruitfulness? What do you have in mind? Well, a spiritual fruitfulness. Well, what kind of spiritual fruit? Well, I could list several things that the Bible speaks of as fruitful. Certainly there's the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Those things ought to become more evident in our lives with the years. The Bible talks about the fruit of righteousness. There ought to be righteous, godly living in our lives, and that ought to be seen more and more with age. There is the fruit of ministry. There is the fruit of witness. Those are things that ought to be seen as the years go by. And I won't develop those because time doesn't permit, but I hope that you will develop that idea. Well, how is my life fruitful? And then the other side of that is what I would call a freedom that comes from old age. That fruitfulness is also a freedom to bear fruit. Now, I know that there are some of you who say, well, since I've retired, I have never been so busy. Actually, I believe that. I don't argue that point with anyone, but as is often the case with preachers, I want to challenge you in regard to that point. It's true, but if you're busy, I'm really tempted to have a show of hands. Is there anyone in the congregation that's busy? But I'm not going to do that. I've already been to the edge with the high school students this morning, and they were so good at treating me as a substitute Sunday school teacher. I'm not going to push my luck with the congregation. But here's the thing. If we're busy, it seems to me that that says that we have enough time and energy to be busy. Isn't that right? You've got to be busy doing something, and you've got to have some time to be busy. And so here's my challenge. If you are busy, let me challenge you to examine your priorities. Now, I want you to have fun. I want you to relax. I want you to have time with your grandchildren. But I also want you to examine what you're doing. Is it meaningful? Is it worthwhile? Examine the priorities of your busyness. That's what I want you to see. You see, there's that opportunity to touch the lives of others, to be fruitful, to have the freedom of reaching our grandchildren, our friends, our neighbors. I've come to a conclusion, and I've shared this with you before. I believe that there are many, many people who are hungry for someone to care and someone to listen. And the reason that I've come to that conclusion is that I find strangers, I'm talking about people that I don't know from Adam's house cat, strangers who start sharing things with me. And I'm not wearing a clerical collar on those days or anything like that. It's just they start sharing. And here's my theory, that people are hungry for someone who has some interest and will listen. That's all it takes. How are you doing? What's happening? How are you today? And look them in the eye and give them a chance to say something. And I am amazed. Sometimes it's just a little snippet. Sometimes it's, wow. Why are they sharing that with me? And I get the idea that it's been welling up with them, and they were just looking for somebody to tell that to, and I just stumbled along. You can minister to others. You have the freedom. You have the opportunity as you circulate in society among your friends. That's a fruitfulness of old age. That's a freedom of old age to be a blessing to others. Will you use your freedom? Will you use your time? Will you use your energy? And I want to close by saying there's a Jesus element. Jesus loved the little children, but he loved older adults. I don't have time to develop this, but you remember it was Jesus who confronted those young adults who were not showing honor to their parents. They were using a loophole in the rituals of their day, saying, well, we dedicate what we would have to the Lord. Of course, we're going to keep it and manage it ourselves now. But because we've made this promise, we're not going to give anything to our parents. We're not going to help them along like that. And Jesus says, you're using that the wrong way. You are breaking the law to honor your father and mother. You see, Jesus was concerned about honor shown. Did you catch that in Leviticus? Well, I'm not going to raise hands today, but I wonder if there are any of you that thought that rising when an older person came into the room was just a Southern cultural thing. Well, it has biblical roots. It's a way to show honor and respect. The Bible teaches that. Why? Why? Because Jesus teaches that. And these things that I've been talking about, a fruitfulness, a wisdom, a sweetness of spirit, it's a Jesus thing. You don't get to be fruitful You don't have wisdom. You don't have a sweetness and graciousness of spirit just because of the number of candles on your cake. Fruitfulness comes from abiding in Jesus. And with age, you've had more opportunity to abide in Jesus, and you have the fullness of Jesus in you. With age, there has been the opportunity to follow Jesus as His disciple. And what happens when you follow Jesus and follow Jesus and follow Jesus and look at Jesus? You become like Jesus. That's what gives that sweet and gracious Christ-like spirit. That's what gives fruitfulness. It's the Jesus connection. It's not just a matter of age. You know, without Jesus, without this biblical perspective, it's possible for an older person to be sour, irascible, or curmudgeon. I love that word, curmudgeon. Hate the idea, but love the word. It's a warning. That word is a warning. And you know what? If you're not going to be a sour, irascible curmudgeon, you better start working on the Jesus connection now. Because Jesus makes the difference. And then finally, what about the young people? Why should I show respect? Why should I care? What is this? Well, you're going to get old one day. That's one thing, but it's more than that. If a person just is young and old and dies and that's it, why show any respect for that? But you see, Christianity has a different view. That's not the end. The older person reflects a lifelong relation with the Lord Jesus Christ, a closer view of Jesus because that one has been with Jesus, and a wisdom to share with others, and a closeness because that one is coming nearer to the next stage of being with Jesus forever. And that gives a perspective for life. And shall we honor that? And we aspire to live well, that we might show the beauty of Jesus Christ. And that is the splendor of gray hair. Or not gray hair if you don't have it, but years with Christ. I told my children for a long time, yeah, one of these days I'm going to stop coloring my hair. I've been coloring my hair gray enough to get that respect long enough. After a while, they didn't buy it. I have a feeling they had some doubts from the get-go. But there is a splendor in knowing Jesus Christ through the years. Pray with me. Father, we thank You that You love us. We thank You that Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come to Me." But we thank You that the Bible teaches an honor and even a splendor to age. Let us show the glory of Christ with every year of our lives more and more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and receive God's blessing? Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all, both now and forever. Amen.